Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Support comes from the Farm Doc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of five Illinois Farm Economics Summit meetings December 12th through the 16th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details on their website, farmdoc.illinois.edu. China was in big this week to the U.S. market for soybeans. Corn exports failed miserably, and Europe is still on shaky ground. We'll try to find out what it all means today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with one of the founders of Allendale, Paul Georgie from McHenry, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today include Aaron Curtis from Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois, Ellen Dearden of Ag Review from Morton, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Ellen Dearden, the export market this week was both good and bad. Can you talk about each of them for corn and soybeans?
Sure. We saw one large sale to Japan. However, it came in as Ukraine corn. And our weekly export bookings just continue to look pretty puny. I think we've gotten corn prices down pretty darn low and probably will be at or are at tonight a decent level that we'll see some export business. But we've had two of the last 4 weeks under 10 million bushel booked, and the total 4 week has all been extremely low. This is the beginning of the marketing year. We ought to be selling 35, 45, 50 million bushel every week.
How concerning is the anemic export base for corn?
I think it is somewhat concerning. Of course, the USDA has lowered the goal enough to where if you look at the straight numbers on the weekly basis, compared to past years, of course, we don't need to, on a per-week basis, do that much business. But if you look at the South Korea purchase this morning for not only U.S. corn but also Ukraine corn, we're still $20 a ton too expensive. So until we solve that issue and become more competitive with the Black Sea region, I think we're going to continue to see some anemic exports.
Aaron Curtis, of course, is with Midco. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. It's not been a good week for corn exports.
Not out of the U.S. Competition out of the Black Sea is going to be very stout for the next several months. And, you look at your weekly export sales, what USDA is looking at, 1.6 billion bushels. You only have to sell 20 million a week to meet that. And from what I see going on in the Black Sea, we're going to struggle to meet that.
Do they have enough grain to continue shipping and exporting out of Ukraine?
They have got a lot of grain available, you got to keep in mind that the South American crop is going to come on and be a competitor in the last half of the marketing year. So it does look fairly dismal, at least at this point, for demand for U.S. export demand.
Another thing, too, is we haven't talked at all about feed wheat. Feed wheat's just available from nearly every place, and We looked at the recent weather in Australia, and it looks like there will be more feed wheat available there, too.
You know, wheat futures, by the way, had a high price in the December contract this week at $6.39¾. Remember, we give you the high, the low, overnight and day trade, the low at $5.86½. December settlement price week to week, Friday to Friday, $5.98¼, down 18½ for the soft red. July new crop at $6.46, down 35 cents. December corn, $6.48, the high, the low at $6.01½. Settlement price at $6.10¼, down 28¼ on the week. And the 2012 contract settled $5.59, down 15 cents. Will all of that feed wheat continue to put pressure on the corn market, in your opinion?
I think it will. And look at this new crop, even only being down 15 cents for the week. We are still seeing an awful lot of talk about everybody else planting a lot more wheat.
How much movement have you seen in the last week at Midco in Bloomington, Illinois, for corn?
As far as from the producer side?
From producers.
From producers, though, it's been very slow. I mean, it's continued to be pretty slow. We've been stuck in this trading range on D's corn for, since early October, a 30-cent range. We finally broke below that this week. But as far as farmers selling, it's been very slow over the last
And have you been taking advantage, the company been taking advantage and making shipments?
Well, the elevator side has obviously been taking some advantage of some of these basis levels we've seen. You know, historically this time of year, we've got very good value, so we are seeing some movement into the basis channels. But as far as the producer side, it continues to be pretty slow.
What is the marketplace and the charts in particular telling you about old crop corn?
There's no doubt about it. This week's decline or yesterday's decline kind of ripped up the corn chart a little bit. But I think the way the market was able to come back today and only close a nickel lower after being down 12, 13 cents or so, I think it puts it in pretty decent position to maybe start off next week on a positive note. And if we would see some decent technical follow-through, I think what we've seen is just a good solid test of that October low and seasonal tendencies really begin to kick in after the 1st of December. So I think we're kind of in that phase where we test the seasonal low, and now seasonal tendencies will begin to kick to the upside first part of December.
For how long?
If we follow a normal seasonal pattern, you strengthen all the way on into the growing season, into June, July highs. I haven't totally finalized the way I'm going to be approaching the market, but it looks to me like at least the initial reaction would be to play for maybe a spring high this year. But we'll have to see how the next 2-3 weeks plays out.
Are you of opinion then that producers have made the right decision? I'll let the both of you follow up on this one too, to shut the bin door and wait it out?
Well, I think producers have shut the bin door, but they've moved a lot of grain over the last couple weeks. Just about every processing unit, elevator company has come up with a free DP type program, and that usually brings a lot of grain into the marketplace. And I think the end users, for the time being, have got an adequate supply of cash corn around. And I think that's one of the reasons why the market breaks. It's been always been my observation when you get big free DP movement, it's just a matter of time before the market breaks, and that's what it did this week.
I look at farmer mentality as going to be willing sellers of a rally during the month of December, probably to meet the end of the year cash flow, the beginning of the year cash flow, and then keeping that door shut again to the bin until they get into the 1st of March. So I think we could see a little rally here during the month of December, then be down into January again. And I think producers will be pretty discouraged by that. I think that this free DP situation has hurt the farmer who's looking at basis, but most farmers continue to be flat price sellers.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think I would see us holding some support in this $5.75, $6 range on D's corn and trying to bounce out of there a little bit, depending on, of course, the outside markets. If the European situation calms down here a little bit and we can slow the dollar advance down somewhat over the next couple weeks. But I think as we head towards the winter and spring, I would look for prices to kind of gradually firm up as we head into spring.
Earlier in the program, Ellen, you mentioned December corn of next year or new crop at $5.59. It lost 15 cents. Are you thinking that new crop sales might be a good idea?
Well, historically, December's not a good time to be making new crop sales. March is a better time, but the 6.10 area, 6.25 area, December 12 futures might trip a sale for me.
Anybody else agree?
Yeah, I would agree. If we get back, stick our head back up over $6 futures-wise, I would think I would, especially if you have a pretty good idea what your cost structure is on at least part of your bushels anyway, start to reward the market a little bit.
The corn-soybean ratio basically implies that we're going to push planted acres up toward that 94 million area, if provided Mother Nature allows us to do that. I think it's going to be new crop corn is going to be hard to get to rally until I think the market feels more comfortable about world demand and maybe gets into some of the weather worries. And, you know, you don't have to go very far to you take a look at the U.S. drought monitor and you can see that the whole country could get into trouble pretty quickly if we don't begin to get some pretty good rains.
You talked about Ukraine earlier on and then mentioned just in passing South America. Are you concerned at all about the increasing number of acres of corn that those producers have planted this season?
Well, world demand will be able to absorb that. I think that's maybe going to be a negative to the U.S. farmer. But as I mentioned to you on the radio, I mean, U.S. agriculture is basically a mature industry. Only type of production increases we're going to get out of the U.S. is going to be through yield. The new lands, new growth is all going to come from South America and Ukraine.
I'm not particularly concerned about all the new corn acres in South America. Especially because we're going to probably see about a 10% increase in the double crop acres, which is going to really bump up the corn acres in Brazil about 3%.
January beans this week at 12.06 and a quarter top, bottom at $11.52 and three quarters. Settlement price at $11.68 and a quarter, a loss of 7.25 cents for the week. November, Friday to Friday, $11.81 and a half, finished 11 cents lower. It was a big week for the export market, yet we finished lower this week. Why?
Well, I still think there's some outside market factors that continue to weigh on the market a little bit here moving forward. I think kind of buy the rumor, sell the fact as far as export sales to China. I mean, China's still considerably behind where they were a year ago as far as bean sales. And the concern remains if we don't get these sales here the first part of the year, they're going to slip away to South America, especially if their crop comes through. So we got a lot of work to do as far as China buying beans from the United States. And hopefully we can continue that trend because we sure need it.
You're shaking your head in agreement that we need to have those continued bean sales come in for you to be satisfied. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we need to front load these sales from the U.S. right now. South American beans are going to be at exportable locations as we get into late February, early March, and that's earlier than usual.
What's the chart look like?
Chart is we kind of bounced off of a double bottom on the lead daily chart here today with a reversal. Again, I think this is somewhat seasonally correct. If we could see some follow through to the upside, I think since we would need to kind of have a higher finish, we do have some time to maybe do that for the month. But I'm not all bared up on chart action, either corn or beans. Actually, I think we're in the process of making some important lows in here. They may not necessarily be in place right away here, but I do think that we're going to pull out of December and have a pretty good winter.
How much of a concern is Europe for you at this time?
Much of Europe? Big concern because it definitely impacts the value of the dollar from day to day, and And at least at the moment, commodities have a pretty strong correlation to whatever that dollar is doing. If it's stronger, the commodities are going to be down. But I think traders are basically looking at the wrong thing in many ways because of the worldwide currency devaluation we're going through. The ratio between the euro and the dollar and the ratio between the dollar and the yen, I don't think means all that much in the longer term because we're going to be working with more dollars and more euros and more yens as we go down the road.
I think that we're also need to add to the mix the uncertainty of what the super committee is going to end up doing next week. And I think congressional just paralysis is a huge issue.
You're listening to the November 18 edition of Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Visit us online at WILLAG.org. When we return, we'll talk with Paul Giorgi from Allendale. University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio include Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, Dan Zwicker from ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Aaron Curtis of Midco in Bloomington, Illinois. On the phone line today, Paul Giorgi in McHenry, Illinois at Allendale. Paul, thanks so much for taking the time to spend with us. I watched, I think, maybe your Thursday morning opening comments from Allendale-Inc.com. Very nice to have your web pages up and a way to contact you there. But you made note at that point about Ukraine. I think you were mostly intrigued with that nation and their ability to export corn. Can you tell me more?
Well, I think the export concern out of Ukraine is huge and can have a big impact on U.S. grain prices because they do have a crop. If you remember, they didn't sell any grain. They had a boycott on exports for almost a year. Now they've got plenty of grain. They had a good crop this year. We're also worried about their upcoming crop, especially the winter and fall planted crop, because they're pretty dry yet. So it's going to be a focus point for quite some time.
Will Ukraine be able to ship well into the winter?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not sure of the logistics of that, but I think they're going to be able to. Anytime you hear that Ukraine is willing to market and sell grain to somebody, they're going to get the job done.
Paul, speaking of exports, we'll stay on that topic just a second here. As far as U.S. exports, at $1.6 billion of the USDA goal, if you were going to make a prediction moving forward or any kind of educated guess, where do you think we what side of that number do you think we end up when all said and done?
Well, our exports that we put together here at Allendale, we've been looking at about a 1.65, which is higher than what the USDA said. But we've also done some numbers here that are really scary when you start looking at and adjusting for numbers like we've seen this week. We're going to need to make some major export sales here in order to improve this. And we just, Rich Nelson in our office here extrapolated out if we use the numbers that we've seen this week, we could have export sales down at 1.13 billion bushel, which projects to a price of down to 364, if you want to look at it that way. So, but hopefully nobody and everybody won't repeat that Allendale says 364. The reality is that it is extremely important to get our exports going, and if we don't, prices could continue to stair steps lower rather than stair step higher.
Well, Paul, this is Dan. You should have just made it 360. Everybody can remember 360.
That's why we threw in the four.
Going on, looking at the rest of the balance sheet, especially, I guess I'm wondering what your thinking is on feed usage. The USDA has cranked that down significantly. And I guess I question whether or not how valid a number that is and kind of wanted to see what you were thinking.
Well, we think that feed usage should increase. They should bump it up at least to 4.625, which is only 25 million more than what the USDA had this last month. But the play there and the unknown, which makes it very difficult, is wheat as feed. And, you know, we are importing wheat into the U.S. out of Europe. The Southeast producers have imported wheat this last week, and we think that that's going to that's going to play a big part unless corn prices get to a level where they're competitive. But right now, wheat has certainly got the advantage on feed usage.
Have you considered the end-of-the-year loss of the credit for ethanol and what impact that might have?
Well, I think that is a good question, because I believe what's supporting cash corn prices right now is we're seeing a lot of processors, ethanol processors, I believe, that are trying to get as much process as possible before this credit goes away. And we also are hearing that in the oil side, in the biodiesel side, where bean oil, soybean oil, and oils in general are at huge demand and demanding huge prices, because they are trying to get as much blend as they possibly can and get the credits before that goes away.
We've seen a real drop in bean meal prices this last week, and early on we saw a good rally in the bean oil, but the meal has been lackluster. Today we saw the meal bounce. What do you take of that?
Well, I think today's action is probably just some evening up of spreads here before the weekend, but the oil, I think, will continue to be good demand here. The meal, we have got, we can export that. China's been a good buyer of beans, and the demand for meal, however, I think is slow here in the U.S. Processors are struggling with margins, and as long as oil, the bottom line is, if we lose the oil support in the crush, we've got some problems, I believe.
Paul, the corn market has somewhat lulled the producer to sleep a little bit the last few weeks. How are you reading the farmer mentality as far as selling future bushels?
Well, I think the farmer, it's a bit scary. I was listening to comments here earlier in the program, and I think they've closed the bin doors. They are not selling anything. They might be delivering on free DP, which historically means they should be selling it rather than delivering it on free DP. And that has to come and be priced later on. And I think from what I'm talking to producers, they've got a lot of corn to market. They're probably going to wait till after the first of the year. Maybe it's for tax reasons, money reasons, cash flow reasons. But I think the problem that we got facing us is there's a lot of grain that has to be sold. And we're recommending to producers, sell your cash now or by December 7th. December 7th is a key date on basis. It usually is the highest basis, not always the lowest price in futures. But sell your cash, re-own it on the board sometime between now and that December 7th, first week in December timeframe.
Paul, what's your guess that farmers have left in inventory to sell on a percentage basis?
That's a tough one. I think, depending on what area you're in, if you go out to Iowa and Nebraska, I think there's probably a greater amount there because they've got a much bigger crop than Central Illinois. I think Central Illinois, they probably have got a lot more, so they might be 60-70% sold, where the guys in Iowa may only be 40% sold.
I heard somewhere that Allendale was predicting a 360 cash price next year for corn.
I knew they could remember that number.
Well, it's 364. I'm sorry. Somebody else dropped you 4 cents along the way. Talk to me about next year's cash sales, if any need to be made at this point, and where you might want to do that.
Well, I think you'd sell rallies in that crop. We've got, using the USDA numbers and what they might be carried in and what the planted acreage is expected, we've got about 93.397 is our planted acreage number. But we think that our cash value, fair value for next year's corn is about 418. So 550 is not a bad price when you're looking at a potential target like that, and we like using options. We think that you can buy puts and sell calls at this point in time and probably get along pretty good.
What's your best set of advice on soybeans?
Soybeans, I would sell soybeans and look for a place to re-own them. I am not extremely bearish on soybeans, especially new crop beans, 2000 or 2012 beans. I think they've got a chance to firm up here, and I think we need to get that bean-corn ratio in line where we attract some more bean production.
Paul, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. We do appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Paul Georgie is with Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois. You can always find them online at allendale-inc.com. That's I-N-C. Now, time for a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Ellen Dearden.
We've always used to talk about oats was the thing that was leading the corn market, and you might notice that oats closed higher today.
Aaron Curtis?
It is the season to be thankful, so as we go through next week, please remind yourself why you're thankful to be in agriculture.
And Dan Zwicker.
And I want to second that. We have a lot to be thankful for, especially after going through this growing season. The crops turned out much better than what we thought, and we've had a good year or two of prices.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Aaron Curtis at Midco in Bloomington, Illinois, and Ellen Dearden of Ag Review in Morton, Illinois. And that wraps up this November 18 edition of Commodity Week. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, including our daily programs from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. And a way to sign up for our free weekend newsletter, just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great weekend. Support comes from the Farm Doc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of five Illinois Farm Economics Summit meetings December 12th through the 16th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details on their website, farmdoc.illinois.edu.